also made the world, and he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Father, we just thank you for this day that we know you are here. By your Spirit, you teach us your ways and you show us the very character and nature of you. And we thank you, Lord, that by your word and by your Spirit, you speak life into us and you bring us into fullness and you deliver us from our errors and troubles. And we thank you this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to get a glass of water here. I don't want to choke up here. So I just want to get a glass of water. I can tell I'm going to get a little bit thirsty here. So, oh, my table's gone. You took my table. It was there. It's gone now. Anyways, so the next verse will be Hebrews 4, verses 7 to 14. And, yeah, I know it loads slowly. So, again, in Hebrews 4, 7 to 14, he again fixes a certain day. Today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as he has said before, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. Thanks, Dennis. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through the following of the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes of him with whom we have to do. And the next verse we'll read is Philippians 2, verses 1. And we'll just start there in verse 1 in Philippians 2. So, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The next one we'll read is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to put all, I'm going to tie all this together once we go through these verses. And so Romans 12, verses 1, 2. And therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. So, what I want to talk about is about the humility that Jesus showed us. It's amazing. It's amazing. There was one more verse. Sorry. Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. And I'm just amazed at the humility of Jesus. Oh, we're here ready. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for in this way it was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by the Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then Jesus says also, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow. And you know the fruits of the Spirit, and you typically know those. And I would actually say that being humble is really a fruit of the Spirit, because Jesus is of the Holy Spirit. He really is. And so it's something that he's given us insight into the renewing of the mind, because when we, we received a new heart when we believed into Jesus, and we also received the Holy Spirit as a helper. But the problem is that the mind has been, all these years before you became a believer, it still has all that worldly thoughts and worldly passions and worldly deception, really. Really, there's a lot of things in the world that have messed up our minds. And so what I'm going to get at is that when we present ourselves to the Lord, we're actually humbling ourselves. We're saying, Lord, I know who you are. You are the Savior. You're the one that's able to transform me. And so in that faith that he's given us, we're able to say, okay, I need you, Lord. And we're able to actually, he refashions our mind in agreement with what he teaches. It's actually, the words he speak are spirit and life. They actually are alive. Like it says, the word of God is able to pierce as far as the right into the soul, between the soul and the what? Yeah. Just go there right now. I'll just keep going. So, yeah, he's able to pierce all the way, and he's able to judge the intentions and thoughts of our mind and of the heart. And so do we continue with the old way of thinking? Should not we renew it? And he's actually wants us to let go of these worldly ways. And sometimes we get our buttons pushed. Sure, okay, I've got it all figured out and all that. But what happens if someone hits you? And that kind of hurt, Then all of a sudden you get mad, and then that old man, that old person lashes out, and next thing you know, you're fighting and angry with them. And so these things can come up again. They really can. So it takes a reprogramming, a transformation of the mind. It really does. And he's able to do that through the power of the Holy Spirit. It just requires our humbling ourselves, our submitting ourselves to him, and in faith. Because, you know, when the Jews, the Hebrews came out of Egypt, they rebelled against God. Even though they saw his glory, they saw the provision, they saw the fire at night, the smoke at day, they saw all these miracles, and yet it didn't help them because the faith was not there, united, what they saw. And they thought that God was trying to kill them, or, you know, and they wanted to go back to the old way, that old mindset. And so it was, God was not happy with that. And, you know, there was only a few, I guess it was Joshua and Caleb, of the first of that generation, and then the children that entered into the promised land. So, you know, God was still gracious and kind. He could have just wiped them all out, but he didn't. But he chose to bring them in into the promised land anyways. And so this is quite amazing when we see that Jesus would empty himself just to become a man. And just, that's just mind-blowing if you really think about it. God is amazing. He really is amazing. And so I don't think there's enough words to describe all that he's done for us. And, you know, I may not explain these things well, but when we read the scriptures, he speaks to us, and he's able to, you know, do that work in our hearts and in our minds. And I mean, as a teacher, I guess I'm just here as a substitute teacher. to remind you of these things and to encourage you to humble yourself before the Lord. And he's going to transform everything in our lives. He really is. So I was actually thinking about that. And I was thinking, you know what? This humbling is actually an attribute of God. It's a character of God. You kind of, how can God be humble? He's God. He's got everything under control. He can make everything. He can do everything. But yet, that's something he chooses to be, which is quite amazing. Should not we also be? Because he's made us in the image of Jesus. He's made us the same heart as Jesus. And so it's kind of amazing that what God is doing in our lives. It really is amazing. I'm just studying some things, and of course, my message changed. And then I thought, "Well, God, what are you doing?" I kept asking him to show me, and I was just okay. And then I kept hearing his voice. "I will show you. I'm with you." So, you know, for several days, and I kept hearing him say, and thinking, okay, this is the last day, Lord, before the Sunday. And I was kind of like, uh-oh. But I still was kind of leaning on him. You know, I was, you know, that Proverb 3, I think it's Proverb 3, where it says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. So there's things he shows us, and there's things that we want to do, but it requires us to lean on him so that he can really show us what's in his heart. Because, you know, in us, we want to do our thing, and sometimes we conclude things by what we think, but really, we should conclude things by what God just does and what he shows us is true, rather than trying to figure it all out. I mean, who could ever figure out all the glory of God? I mean, you couldn't do it. It's like an ocean, and you're trying to keep filling the cup, or a universe, you keep trying to fill the cup. You're going to be filling it forever. forever. You're never truly going to know all that God really is. But he still reveals amazing things about us, about him to us. And that's really all that's required, is us just to believe him, trust him, and be loyal to him. I mean, you know, faith is really about believing him, trusting him, and being loyal to him all our lives. I mean, that's the simplest way to say it. And I'm just amazed. You know, it's just when you start digging into the Word, and he starts to show you things, you think, whoa, this is really interesting. This is amazing. And then you kind of go, oh, this is amazing too. Oh, and this is amazing too. And it's like, it just keeps going and going. And I was going to go, well, what am I? There's a lot of things that could be said, but not enough time to say it all. There really isn't. And that's why trying to condense this is not really a way to go. It should be more like a building and a tearing down things that are not right in our lives, right? Because it was 2 Timothy, where it talks about the God, that the word of the scripture is God breathed, and it's there for correcting and reproof and training us in righteousness of his ways. And I always bring that verse to mind where God, Jesus, you're leading us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, for what your name is. You are God. You are leading us in paths of righteousness. And those are things I lean upon. I can't figure it all out. And I'm coming to the point where I don't know if I want to figure it all out, but because I don't want to get it wrong, right? I want to just know him and see what he does. I'm learning to, we are learning to know his voice, right? It says his sheep will know his voice. And there's times when you are praying, or even when someone is speaking to you about things, about Jesus, and all of a sudden you'll just hear his voice say something, confirming that word, or you know, just say, all of a sudden you'll hear him and say, I love you. And you go, whoa, okay, thank you. Like, you know what I mean? Has that ever happened sometimes? Not all the time, but it's when we're listening, because our lives are so distracted, eh? We get quite busy, and you know, how much time have we? Oh, we got lots of time. Oh, whoa, we're running out of time. There was a verse about where Titus mentioned last week about who was going to be the greatest servant in the kingdom of God, who was going to sit beside Jesus, and basically Jesus brings this child up and says, this child is the greatest. Because when he's using that child as an example for us, that we would have a faith, a childlike faith, more like a faith that is just, I'm trusting you. I'm not, you know, a young child isn't hardened to the world. He's quite open to absorb everything, and that child is he's not worried about pride or trying to show off or all these things that mess people up. Eh? So this child is so open, and when you give the child a gift, the child is super happy and giving thanks, and that's really what we should be like. We're just, God, you're doing amazing things, and having that same type of childlike attitude, but we're still to mature. But I'm talking about the humbleness. That child is really humble. He's trusting his earthly father to bring him up. He's not worried about paying the bills. The child is trusting his earthly father to bring him up, and the children are they think this is wonderful. Eh? Have children, eh? But and then eventually they grow up and they They realize they got to get a job and they got to do all these things. But hey, that's okay. That's okay. But I just want to show you that even the child has a humble attitude in a sense. They really do. And I'm just really, that's really what my thoughts were about this, about Jesus being so humble and that we are to be humble too, and that this mind of ours can be transformed when we humble ourselves and present ourselves to the Lord and say, I'm here. Lord, do that transformation of my mind. You know, deliver me from my errors. Bring me into the righteous paths. You know, it's quite simple. It should be simple, right? Nothing complicated. And he's able to do it all, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's able to do it all. So I'm just, that's about it. I'm so thankful that that we belong to him. All of you belong to him. And it's just, so, Father, we thank you that your word is true and is able to transform us into believing everything you have said, and that you will accomplish it because you are a God of truth and promise, and that you were able to bring us into those paths of righteousness, to show us who you are and your son Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's it.